I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and we're happy you're joining us today. Today's topic is a little bit different than what we usually do. Today's topic is on war hero and star of the silver screen, Audie Murphy. He had an amazing background, and we're going to talk all about his...
Charlie Murphy.
We're going to talk about his background and his service to the war effort during World War II, his very distinguished career in the Army, and also his career in Hollywood. But before we get started with Audie Murphy...
Well, let's... Hold on, Tim. You're skipping over an important part here.
What's that?
What he did, I thought the reason why we was doing the whole Audie Murphy thing was I read that book, The Search for Audie Murphy.
Was he missing?
No, it's about reincarnation. It's fascinating.
Material. That was The Search for Bridie Murphy. Audie Murphy was a war hero and a movie star. So you didn't prepare for... Okay.
And you are a dumbass.
I'm going to have to go...
Again.
Get my iPad real quick.
Okay, you do that, girl. Okay, well, we might have to do Bridie Murphy one time. That'd be an interesting topic. Joining me, as always... is the very talented and mild-mannered brown hair beauty, Brandy. How are you doing, Brandy?
I'm fine. How are you?
How you get mild-mannered?
Well, also joining us is the very distinguished, the very honorable, the very debonair.
Jesus.
I don't say debonair. Yeah, that's...
Colonel Charles Beauregard. Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not pleased, Tim.
Well, you just came back from vacation. You look you look very tense.
I am tense. I am tense. People
he's past
sending
tense.
I'm getting on my messages.
He's past tense.
I'm beyond tense. I'm past tense.
Yeah, okay. Well, what's wrong? What's wrong, Colonel?
I'm sitting there laying in bed with my beautiful wife.
Renee, a shout out to Renee.
Shout out to Renee, and we binge watching the show Nashville.
Is it good?
It's a good show. Mm-hmm. It's a good show. Got a lot of pretty women on it.
It's kind of a girl show.
Yeah, but they got some babes on there. So anyway, I don't.
But it's part of your Southern heritage.
Yeah, I like some country music.
Yeah,
I like Raina James.
Yeah,
and Jesus.
So anyway, my phone it just beep 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 beep. It's going off like crazy.
Okay.
So then I read it, and I'm looking, and I'm following you guys, and it's like talking about taking call-ins, and you're like, well, what if we get somebody crazy? And
okay, so...
We're down with that. And then somebody says, well, my fear is we just get somebody boring that rambles on about their grandma.
Okay,
we
so...
We already got one Chuck on the show.
First of all, you're confusing many, many threads of that conversation.
Okay, so for our listening audience that doesn't know, we have a thread that we communicate with through text, through Facebook. The Colonel, Brandy, and Brittany and I. And we were talking about the possibility. One of our listeners, Bobby, thank you very much, Bobby, had suggested that we take live phone calls during the show, and we had talked about that in the past. And we were throwing around the idea, and Brandy was fear was that crazy people would call in, and I said that would be a good thing because it'd be entertaining. My fear was that we would have boring people, and then that's when she made a reference to you, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what? Now, the last time I was on here, the last podcast we had to do, I had to confront you about saying, I wish I paid you so I could fire you. Now I got to listen to the devil. When you write it? That's libel instead of slander. Slander, my good name.
Yeah. So you're concerned that you're not getting the love that you...
Well, I feel like that appreciation, I'm not appreciated. Right? Really, and, you know, young Brittany not here today. And
yeah, she's in Florida or
she's
someplace.
She's in Florida, and I think most of our listeners know me and young Britt carry the show.
Well, I don't think there's never been any surveys on that.
Well, I don't want to take a big, you know, John Travolta thing here, and, you know, I want a bigger trailer, and I want this, and I want that.
Stable Boys.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
But you're not feeling appreciated. Is that it?
I don't believe you take care of the talent on this show.
Well,
if we had some, then it would be different.
Well, no, Colonel, you are.
I got people calling me.
I got people calling my people all the time. I know your people are in contact with a lot of people, and I know that you're a very valuable member of our team. And I'm sure that Brandy would love this opportunity to apologize if she had slighted you in any way. Brandy?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Let's start then. Let's talk about Audie Murphy.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay. We gave you an opportunity.
So this is not the guy that's been reborn.
No. Bridie Murphy. But this is Audie Murphy. And Audie Leon Murphy was one of the most decorated American combat soldiers of World War II. Actually, he was the most decorated combat soldier of World War II, receiving every military combat award for valor available in the U.S. Army. And he was also recognized by France and Belgium for his heroism. At age 19...
How big a hero you got to be to get a medal in France?
I don't know, man. You could probably just like...
All you got to do is say, I don't surrender. I mean, you get a medal for saying that.
Hold out for 15 minutes.
Yeah, just like... Just fire three shots, you get a medal.
Yeah.
The French are too drunk to fight.
Yeah, they're busy drinking and fornicating. And But anyway.
We should move.
Murphy.
They ain't taking showers.
Well, I don't know about that. But I still want to offend our French
we
listeners.
We should move.
Yeah. So anyway, at age 19, Murphy received the Medal of Honor after single-handedly holding off an entire company of German soldiers for an hour in France during a campaign. I know that that's something that I know that you do probably twice a week, Colonel, but this is, you know, not everyone can be you.
Charlie Murphy.
Well, you don't know that Audie Murphy didn't get reincarnated into the Colonel.
Maybe. He's on this reincarnation kick, isn't he? Nothing about this story is about reincarnation. Murphy was born into a large sharecropper family in Hunt County, Texas. Please do not make me laugh when I say that. Hunt County.
Hunt County.
Texas. On June 20th, 1925. Audie Murphy was born.
It's right next to Hagina County.
He was the seventh of 12 children born to Emmett. And his Emmett Murphy and his wife Jose Bell.
Jose Bell.
Josie
and
Bell.
And daddy was married to a Jose Bell. What the hell?
Josie Bell. Josie, like Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, okay. No wonder the man was such a killing machine. Hey,
come on, let's don't make fun of Mrs. Murphy. His father abandoned him, so I guess it's okay to make fun of Emmett. Remember Emmett from the Andy Griffith show, Emmett's Hardware? Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Emmett anyway. Always had the right stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? I like Floyd better, the barber.
Floyd was crazy. Floyd was crazy.
I don't know. I kind of liked him. He would give you haircuts, but I mean, they got haircuts a lot. Every time you turn around, they're in his barbershop. Yeah. He's got a haircut every other day. Anyway, back to Audie Murphy. His father abandoned him when he was young, and his mother died when he was just 16 years old. Murphy left school in the fifth grade to go pick cotton and to help support his brothers and sisters. He was very skilled at hunting, and he needed to be because
in Hunt County.
That's
why they called it Hunt County.
Did he go shark hunting?
I don't know, but he put food on the table for his brothers and sisters.
Awesome.
He always wanted to join the service, but he was too young. But later on, his sister would help him falsify documentation about his birth so he could enroll in the military. Yeah, I don't think they were military in the 1940s. You know what? My dad lied about his age too, so I think they were taking anyone that just kind of come along. They would kind of, it was kind of wink and a nod type of thing. But anyway, so Audie wants to get in the military. He goes to join. First, he's denied because he's underweight, and he was also underweight and underage. But as I said, his sister lied about his helped him falsify documentations for him to get enlisted, and that is what he did.
What the hell did he do? Put sand in his shoes?
No.
Underweight and underage.
Well, but you know, as the war progressed and the U.S. needed,
they decided they didn't care.
Yeah, they kind of lowered the standards.
It'd be hard to shoot a skinny man.
And as there, and once he, you know, he really wanted to be a soldier, and he certainly made the most of it, becoming the most decorated soldier in World War II. And afterwards, he enjoyed a 21-year acting career that we're going to talk about a little bit later on. But Colonel, tell us a little bit about tell us a little bit about Murphy's career in the U.S. Armed Forces during World War II.
As you said to me, he always wanted to be a soldier. And then those damn Japanese, they attacked Pearl Harbor on my birthday.
Yeah, on your birthday, but you wasn't alive then, right?
I wasn't alive yet.
But your birthday is on your day is you was born on the day of infamy.
It will live in infamy. Yeah. Anyway, I'll get back to this. Now he went to, coincidentally, Camp Walters, and then he was sent to Fort.
Is that named after your great great grandpappy?
It might have been. It might have been. I don't know. I'm gonna look into that. But anyway, he got his military training.
Yeah.
Got his basic training, and he got shipped off to Casablanca.
Brandy, have you ever seen the movie Casablanca?
Yep.
He is looking at you, kid.
She is the only person in the world who's not seen that movie.
You had not seen Casablanca?
It's the best movie ever made.
What does he say at the end, then?
Well, here's looking at you, kid.
No.
All right. She
this
failed.
Is the start of a beautiful
she
relationship.
Not,
I don't know.
See, that's
again, why would I know that? I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Well, then don't lie.
I said I hadn't seen it.
She's too busy on Candy Crush. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I said I hadn't seen it. I said very clearly, no, I have not seen it.
Okay, so he shipped off
the Casablanca.
Yes,
he
in Morocco.
Bogart.
People are old enough.
He doesn't run in Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, because he's running around there.
He's really about 21 at about this time. He's at the 15th Infantry Regiment in the 3rd Infantry Division.
Regiment.
Now, he participated as a platoon messenger with his division at Arzu in Algeria. And this was very rigorous training for the Allied assault landings in Sicily.
And these guys were a high risk. I mean, they were delivering messages, right? This is before they could just text it.
High risk, high return.
Yeah, they didn't have the cell phone.
Something like 50% casualty rates with them or something. Really high.
Yeah, he was very quick. He was a very quick, skinny little guy.
So I think I read that the average messenger lived like a month. Or something.
There
like
you
that.
Go.
Well, at that time, yeah. Gallipoli,
yeah.
The average messenger lasted six days.
Yeah, it was a very
6 days. So anyway, he gets. We're moving ahead, and he's training to land in Sicily, and that was really the first U.S. invasion of Europe.
Right,
it was Sicily.
On the boot, not on the boot. It was on the football.
Yeah. So now what? Now I'm gonna keep a piece of scrap paper here because. This is really could be a college drinking game.
Yes.
Every time I say Audi killed somebody,
killed a German.
Somebody got to take a drink.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So we're going to keep a little tab on here, Timmy. Every time I say, so when they landed, he was a division runner. Now he's out on a scouting patrol. He sees two fleeing Italian officers.
Gone. He killed him. He killed him. So that was his first kills in
Sicily.
That was
his first two kills. That's when he got the taste. This man was, he was somewhere between, he was a psychopath with a death wish is what he was, I believe.
Well, I think, I don't know about a psychopath, but he was certainly, I mean, that was part
of it. He loved killing.
It was his.
He loved killing.
In his job description at the time.
And he was damn good at it. Now, he got sick for about a week when they arrived in Palermo.
Mm-hmm.
So now he joins up back up with
that's where Brandy's people live.
Palermo?
Yeah. And your family from Italy?
No.
No, okay. She a Mormon or something. They're from the out west in the Salt Lake.
We're German, actually.
Well, who's Italian? That's someone in your family who's Italian.
My husband is.
Well, his family's from tomorrow. Okay.
I don't know where they're from.
Could we get back to Ally Murphy?
Please do.
Do her genealogy or what? So anyway.
Wow.
What do you get on me for?
It goes right to the devil, her genealogy, right back to
the it goes right back to
the Satan.
Yeah, it's like that Kevin Bacon. She's only 4 degrees removed from Satan. Wow. So anyway, he rejoins him.
This is why my dad doesn't listen.
Now,
it's good choice.
They've got this hillside location to protect a machine gun placement.
Mm-hmm. The Germans.
Yeah.
Or the Italians.
No, that's what he had to do.
Oh, he had to do.
That's
okay.
What he had to do.
The Italians.
Now, he goes out on a scouting party along a river. And him and two other soldiers are ambushed by a German machine gunner. Killed one of the Americans.
Wow. Now, that pissed him off.
Oh, you cannot mess with this man. So Murphy and other survivors of his group, this is how they respond.
Charlie Murphy.
They kill 5 German soldiers with hand grenades and machine gun fires. So let's put 5 little tabs on
him. Yeah, he's a 7 so far.
Yeah, 7 kills. 7, yeah. He's up to 7. Now, he takes part in the October Allied assault. Yeah, right by Mignano, Italy, and he and his company repelled.
I was just there last week.
Right.
An attack by 7 German soldiers. He killed 3.
All right, so now he's up to 10 kills.
And then took 4 prisoner.
And he's been in Europe about a week.
He's been 3 days.
Actually, he's been in Europe truly less than 4 months.
Okay, and he's got how many now?
He's got 11 kills.
Okay.
Okay. He gets promoted to sergeant in December, 43.
Yeah, you promote that.
44, he was promoted to staff sergeant. Now, he had one weakness. His Achilles heel was he would get malaria now and again.
I hate that.
So he was hospitalized.
Well, you also get staph infection as a staff sergeant.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Watch out.
And, so he couldn't participate in the initial landing at Anzio Beach.
Well, it's a good thing for the Germans.
A damn good thing for everybody. She is a good thing for the fish. He'd have been shooting the seals, anything that had brown on it, he'd have shot.
Yes.
So he returns to his company, and he's in the first battle of Cisterna. He was made platoon sergeant of Company B. He was not the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B, but he was a platoon sergeant.
I like that guy better.
So,
how do you not like Ally Murphy?
Now
I
he's
like the boogie woogie bugle boy better.
He's taking shelter from the weather in an abandoned farmhouse out here in Anzio,
minding his business.
And Murphy, him and his platoon killed the crew of a passing German tank.
Well, hell, he drove by.
Well, I know. I don't know what else you want.
Well, I think they were sleeping. It was late at night. Uh-huh. But here's how he got it, and this is why you get people that are 19 to do stuff, Demi.
Mm-hmm. So he's 19 at this time.
He's 19 at this time. And you get people. Here's what he did. He crawls out close enough. He just crawls out to the damn tank.
Mm-hmm.
Crawls out to the damn tank with a rifle grenade and blew it up. Now, he got a Bronze Star with a V device, which is a pretty significant thing.
Yeah, you'll read his awards all later. It's a pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive. So he... So he's got 4 there, and
so now how many is he up to?
We're up to, I believe we're up to 18 right now.
Okay.
So now he gets his second bout of malaria. Now he's taking patrol. After he got the V star, after he blew up the tank, he kept making scouting patrols, and on these scouting patrols, he liked to just capture the Germans. That's he was kind of like R&R. He wasn't going to kill them, and he might not have bullets or a knife or something. Right. But he was capturing a lot of them. So anyway, now he gets a second bout of malaria, which is a weird thing to keep getting malaria in Italy, because I didn't know that was a big
the war and this was also the 1940s, so sanitation and everything wasn't as.
So in this time, you know, there's little skirmishes, little battles, and he got his first bronze oak leaf cluster for his Bronze Star. And that's when American forces liberated Rome on June 4th. So Murphy stays in Rome with his platoon.
Did he do as they did?
Hmm?
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
No?
No, he did not. Now this is where he gets his Distinguished Service Cross. This is on August 15th, during the first wave of the Allied invasion of southern France. Murphy's landing at Yellow Beach, and his platoon's attacked by German soldiers making their way through a vineyard.
Okay, now he's in France.
Yeah, he's in France.
Okay. On Yellow Beach.
On Yellow Beach.
Imagine that.
Allied invasion into France.
Okay, so he did the invasion of Sicily, he went into Rome, and now he's in the invasion of southern France.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now walking through a vineyard, minding their own business, you know how they're prone to. And they get attacked by some German soldiers.
Damn Germans.
Unprovoked.
Yeah. So Murphy.
Obviously, they don't know he's got 18 kills.
He runs around, and the machine gunner had been detached from the squad. So Audi just runs around, grabs the machine gun, returns fire to German soldiers. Kills two of them. Well, up to 20.
Up to 20.
Wounded one. Now, two Germans exit a house about 100 yards away, and they're appearing to surrender. Murphy's standing there with his best friend. His best friend starts to talk to him. The German sumbitch is shot and killed his best friend.
Well, say Nazi sumbitches.
Nazi sumbitches?
Yeah.
Nazis? Yeah. They shot and killed him.
Nazis is actually how you say it.
So they were trying, so his friend was trying, or they were trying to surrender. His friend let his guard down, and the Nazis shot his friend.
And killed him. There was two of them.
And that did
not. Two of them coming out of the farmhouse. Two of them out of the farmhouse is like, oh, we hear Audie Murphy out there, screw this. We just, because, you know, he'll burn the farmhouse down with your family in it. So they're coming out, and they're like, we don't want any more, you know, trouble with you.
They surrender.
And they surrender. They're pretending to surrender, but when his best friend drops his guard, they kill him.
Yeah, and that probably didn't go over very well with Audi.
Well, Audi advances alone on the house under direct fire. Now, he wounded two,
mm-hmm.
killed six, and took 11 prisoner.
Did you put six down on the thing?
This is by himself.
So now he's up to how many?
He took 11 prisoners.
He's by himself. He wounded two, killed six, and took 11 prisoners.
It gets better. He's one attack. He doesn't have anything with him. He doesn't have any ammo or any gun.
Yeah.
So he's like Bruce Lee.
He's badass.
Yeah.
So he's up to how many now?
Colonel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's up to 26.
26 killed and at least 11 prisoners of war.
Yeah, I'm not even keeping track of those. You got a bunch of drunk college kids right now.
Okay.
Now he got his first Purple Heart when he got hit in the heel with a mortar shell blast in northeastern France. That's his first Purple Heart. His first Silver Star came after he killed four and wounded three.
Four more.
Okay. Wounded three at a German machine gun position in October. Now, 3 days later,
Murphy. If this wasn't during wartime, he'd be a serial killer at this point.
Oh, yeah. If you made the movie Die Hard, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty badass.
Yeah. Now, he doesn't. Now, 3 days later, he's only got a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he just crawling right toward these Germans, you know, because the place is lousy with the Nazis.
Yeah.
They're all over.
So he's unarmed with a radio.
He's got a radio and
Germany
he's directing his men for an hour while the Germans just fired directly on him.
So he was calling in coordinates or ordinances mm-hmm. or whatever?
Yeah. So his men finally took the hill, killed 15 Germans. I'm not even going to give him credit for those because he killed so many.
Well, he directed the fire. He was.
Well, he did. You know what? We're going to give him credit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was under fire from the Germans, as he was calling in, you know, the ordinance, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's got up to 45 people now.
Okay.
So, I believe he's past...
Bundy.
He's past Bundy, yeah.
More as hell.
So, he got another bronze oak leaf cluster for a silver star. Now, he becomes battlefield commissioned to second lieutenant. That makes him platoon leader. Now, on October 26th, his platoon was attacked by a German sniper. Murphy captured two before being shot in the hip by a sniper. So, as Murphy was wont to do, he returned fire and hit the sniper right between the eyes.
So, he shot in the hip.
Shot in the hip.
He still gets the sniper.
Still got the sniper. But the problem is, in that when he got shot, it caused a partial loss of his hip muscle, and he got gangrene.
Mm.
And now it kept him out of combat till January, because what the hell, if he wouldn't have got injured, shit, the war would be over 3 months earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have marched right to Berlin.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And then he'd have turned around and marched to Stalingrad.
Yep.
I mean, we wouldn't have had the Cold War.
Right.
So anyway, Murphy gets, he gets his bronze oak leaf cluster and his purple heart again. Now, there's a key battle in France, and it's an effort to try to dislodge these Nazis from the Colmar Pocket.
Colmar Pocket, sure.
It's in the mountains, and it's been held by the German troops since November of 44. So now, January, and this is the coldest winter. I mean, it's cold as hell. January 14th, 1945, Murphy rejoins his platoon, his gangrenous hips all shot up, but he's back there. He's back there, so... He goes with the 3rd Division and goes to the town of Howitzer, where they meet a strong German counterattack, and he gets wounded in both legs.
Is that the guy? Howitzer?
Howitzer. No, there wasn't named after him, no. Now, he gets wounded in both legs, for which he gets a 2nd bronze oak leaf cluster for his Purple Heart.
So this is, how many entries is this for him? It's at least 4.
This is 4.
And 2 bouts of malaria.
And 2 bouts of malaria. Okay. That could be another drinking game. Every time Audie Murphy gets shot.
Or injured or gets malaria.
Well, yeah, right. The flu, malaria, what are you, dengue fever? Wouldn't he killed him? So,
Dengue fever.
Okay. So
yes, Bengay fever.
Yeah, Bengay fever. You can get that.
That's a bitch.
So now he's all of a sudden he's the commander of Company B.
Okay, so he's getting promoted.
He's getting promoted because everybody's getting killed. But
And also, Germans, he's a badass.
He is a badass, but the Germans. On January 26th, he's the commander, and one of his tanks takes a direct hit from a M10 tank destroyer. The Nazis set it on fire. The crew has to abandon. So Murphy says, okay, everybody get in the woods. And everybody goes to the woods, except for Murphy.
Nope.
Murphy stays alone at his post, shooting his M1 carbine and directing artillery fire via his field telephones while the Germans still fire directly at his ass.
He's got balls. I'm getting that.
Oh, yeah. He gets in the mountain. He gets into the abandoned, burning tank and begins firing his 50-caliber machine gun at the advancing Germans, killing a whole squad. Now we're gonna give him 25 for that one. Now think about this. He tells everybody, "Get your ass out of here. Get in the woods. It's too bad."
Yeah, his men. He tells his men, "Take cover.
Get out of here.
I got this.
Don't worry about it." The tank's on fire. It's got a 50 caliber. Now, you know it's got to be hotter than hell climbing up onto that tank because it's all metal.
Uh-huh.
And it gets up.
And the damn thing's liable to explode.
Yeah. The boy just had a death wish. So, yeah.
Well, I am beginning to think that the Germans that was messing with him had a death wish.
Well, yeah. So, for an hour, Murphy stands on the tank destroyer and returns German fire from foot soldiers and tanks, killing or wounding 50 Germans.
Jesus.
He sustained another wound injury and stopped only after he ran out of ammunition. So now he goes and he runs into the woods. Ain't worried about his wound. It's like, it's just a flesh wound. I ain't worried about that. And tells him, okay, let's go repel the Nazis again. But he insisted on staying with his men while his wounds were treated. And that's what he got the Medal of Honor for. His whole division was awarded a Presidential Unit Citation for that Colmar Pocket Battle.
But it was really him who, yeah. I mean, he was the one that took the lead on that and turned the whole tide of that whole battle.
Yeah, so he now, instead of second lieutenant in February, he gets promoted to first lieutenant. And he was moved to the front lines to the regimental headquarters and made a liaison officer.
Yeah, and you know, again, you know, there's opportunities for people. And I mean, remember, he left school in the fifth grade, and now here he is, an officer in the United States Army. So
there is not a medal, and here's where we get into his medals. He's got 19 medals total, but that doesn't really count. His Purple Heart, he's got 3 of those. The Bronze Star, he's got 2 of those. The Silver Star, he's got 2 of those. Every medal you can win.
He won. And he won. Plus all the victory medals.
Victory medals. So,
and he got medals, like I said, from France, from Belgium.
Yeah. So he's getting them from hell. The Nazis damn near gave him a medal. They were like, shit, just quit killing us. We'll give you an honor cross. Now he's moved to regimental headquarters, and some inquiries were made through official channels about the prospect of Murphy attending West Point upon his return. But he never enrolled.
Yeah, I remember he just had a fifth grade education. And
yeah.
And, you know, obviously he was an amazing soldier. But I think probably that the academic requirements probably scared him off of West Point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was not fit to be, you know, West Point. He was out. You couldn't kill people at West Point.
Yeah, he was a hell of a soldier.
So he's ordered to report to Fort Sam Houston in June of 1945. They had parades, banquets, speeches.
So he becomes quite the celebrity.
Yeah, he received a belated good conduct medal in August that year.
He's just like, put it with the rest of them.
He was discharged with the rank of first lieutenant at 50% disability classification because, shit, he had his hip shot off, been shot in the legs.
And malaria. Shot in the heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the division he was in after the war reverted back to the Texas Army National Guard. Now, when the Korean War started in 1950, he started his second military career and was commissioned as a captain in the 36th Infantry Division of the Texas Army National Guard. And what he did was he drilled new recruits in a summer training
program. And he was...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more. And save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
only at this point, this when Korean War broke out, he's still young. He's only 25 at that point. He did all this before he was.
Yeah, you know, he's 25. He's been shot up. He's
beginning a second military career.
Yeah, he wanted to join the fighting
in Korea,
but he was not allowed. And this is a time he's starting to. He wanted to join the fighting, and he started his film career.
Mm-hmm.
And the 36th infantry that he was in was never sent to Korea.
And they were using him. I mean, they were utilizing him in a way to recruit.
He was a propaganda machine. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, he was the all-American hero.
Right. And that gave him opportunities with the film industry.
Yeah. So he, 1951, he asked for his to be put on inactive status. So he goes and makes some films with MGM Studios. He returns to active status in 1955. He was promoted to the rank of major by the Texas Army National Guard in 56. Returned to inactive status in 57. In 1969 was his official separation from the Guard.
So he was involved in military for 28 years. I know. When you're 69, 25 years. 25 years of service.
But they transferred him to the U.S. Army Reserve, and he remained with them until...
Hell, he's almost ready to fight in Vietnam at that point.
Damn near. Now, here's where it gets into...
Operation Desert Storm next. It's almost up to Operation Desert Storm now.
I know.
He's in Afghanistan.
Yeah, this son of a bitch be out fighting. He's probably out there fighting ISIS right now. Mm-hmm. But anyway... A very distinguished career, but it did take its toll on him.
Post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, he ever since his military service, he was plagued with insomnia, bouts of depression. He slept with a loaded pistol under his pillow, had headaches, vomiting.
Is that weird?
Nightmares about his war service. He took sleeping pills to stop nightmares. You know, so it kind of goes to show.
It was post-traumatic stress before.
No matter how brave you were at the time, it takes its toll on you. It took its toll on him. And it's and he was a moody man by nature anyway. But the post-traumatic stress levels and Placidil, he became addicted to Placidil. Locked himself in a hotel room for a week to break the addiction.
That's badass, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Placidil ain't nothing to mess with.
So all of this amazing story, and we haven't even talked about his career in motion pictures.
Well, and here's just a couple more interesting things about the war.
Because Chuck wasn't done.
He was kind of a moody guy. He was an emotional guy, you know, after this. And all the things he did, his wife came in, Wanda Hendrickson, and said one time he held her at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she also seen him just break down and cry over newsreel footage of German war orphans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, wasn't like this guy was you know... I joked around about him being a psychopath, but
he had a lot of emotional damage.
Yeah, I think they kind of learned this from a lot of they learned from World War II and World War I. You know, the term shell shock,
right,
or battle fatigue. You know, he probably had both of them.
Well, but it sounds like it was more post-traumatic stress, right? Because, I mean, he dealt with it later on.
He had post-traumatic stress, but they used to call it battle fatigue.
Right.
And shell shock. And he started, actually started calling on the government to look at and study the emotional impact of combat experience and to extend health care benefits to war veterans. And as a result of that, U.S. Congressman Alan Teague, 5 months after Murphy's death, did introduce legislation. And there's an Audie Murphy VA hospital in San Antonio now that it's part of the South Texas Veterans Healthcare System. So he you know, became a very, very troubled man after he was a hero. He made his movies. He became famous. We look at him, but, life was not good for him.
Yeah. He struggled.
After the war. And I think that's what one of the things they learned from World War II and World War I. And one of the things really we're running into now with our veterans coming home from Afghanistan, Iraq, with these redeployments, is that they did some studies and they figured that a person can only take intense stress for about a period of 13 months.
They needed a study for that?
That's what they figured the breaking point was, which was the reason a tour of duty in Vietnam was only 12 months if you were drafted. But, unlike Vietnam, we're getting off track, but we're fighting a different war over there where these guys are never safe.
Well,
they're never safe. They're always tense.
You hear the horrors of World War I and the trench warfare.
Yeah.
Do you know how long those guys were? You know how often those guys were rotated out?
Oh,
every 30 days.
Yeah.
So you think of, I always thought, well, those guys are there for years, but they rotated them out frequently. It was just horrific. No one could stand the intense shelling. And
I was on, and I'll tell you just a side note, an interesting story. We was up in Michigan. We're coming home. We stop at a restaurant to eat, and we got Rudy with us. So they got a little patio outside.
Your dog, Rudy.
Rudy, brave Rudy. And I see this man sitting with his wife, and he has a veteran's hat on, and it says World War II. And, I just said to him, sir, did you fight in World War II? And he said, yeah, I fought under Patton. And I said, no kidding. And he fought, in the mountains. And he had just been moved out for 7 days from the front lines. 7 days from the front lines, mm-hmm. when the Battle of the Bulge occurred.
Wow.
And they said this man was 89 years old. Just a fascinating story. He'd been with Patton. He got moved to Patton later on. He'd been in Africa.
Yeah.
Been down through Italy. He was, and the man was 89 years old talking about this. And
the sad thing is those guys are, they're dying off.
This guy, he told me he was 89 years old to me. If you would have told me he was 69, I would have believed you. And, but it's
the greatest generation.
But they did get rotated out. And I think, one of the things that I know we're on Audie Murphy, but one of the things that the problem that we have now is they got rotated out. If you weren't on the front lines, you really weren't in danger.
Mm-hmm.
These guys that are over here that we have in Afghanistan and that we had in Iraq, and there was never a moment when they were not in danger. There was never a front line that they could move back from.
Well, yeah. I mean, to same extent, Vietnam as well. I mean, you're dealing with guerrilla warfare. You never know who the enemy.
And now we're seeing what we're seeing is just this epidemic of men coming home, women too, mm-hmm. committing suicide.
Yeah.
They can't deal with it.
Yeah, and it's an epidemic.
And Audie Murphy is a good example of, look at the things this man did. They were unbelievably brave, just unbelievably brave. So it is not weakness that makes you come home and have post-traumatic stress.
Right.
It's not a weakness. This man could do anything.
Well, you said we named, jokingly named all of his injuries. The most serious injury was the psychological damage that was done.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But let's talk about his film career, Brandy, because that was pretty distinguished, too.
Oh, and I had a concern we were going to turn into an after-school special. Sandhurst's talking about all that.
What's that? Nothing. Just talk. Just tell us about the movie.
She was afraid we were going to be Oprah. Oh, go ahead. Dr. Phil.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Mr. Murphy had an acting career that spanned from 1948 to 1969. He made more than 40 feature films and one television series.
Yeah, so he parlayed this his recognition and you know, his the accolades that he justly deserved. The film studios picked up on it and gave him an opportunity to.
James Cagney saw him.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh, you dirty rat!
He actually saw the July 16th, 1945 issue of Life that depicted Murphy as the most decorated soldier, and he brought him to Hollywood.
I love James Cagney.
Well, Cagney and his brother William signed him as a contract player for their production company, and then they trained him. They gave him acting lessons, voice and dance lessons. They never cast Murphy in a movie, and they had some kind of personal disagreement with him that ended the association in 1947. Murphy later worked with acting
Murphy
coach.
Murphy killed him.
Probably, you know.
Killed a producer or something.
No, he did not kill anybody.
Murphy later worked with acting coach Estelle Harmon and honed his diction by reciting dialogue from William Shakespeare and William Saroyan.
Yeah, the thing about Murphy was he wrote a lot of poetry. People don't know poetry and songs too, song lyrics,
which is kind of an interesting thing because he didn't have a big high. He was a very intelligent man,
mm-hmm.
but he had a
fifth grade education.
Not much of an education, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Murphy moved into Terry Hunt's athletic club in Hollywood, where he
another
lived.
Another Hunt.
Where he lived until 1948.
Can't swing a dead cat without hitting a Hunt.
Without hitting a Hunt around you.
Hollywood director David Speck McClure befriended Murphy and collaborated with him on Murphy's 1949 book, To Hell and Back.
Yeah, which was a bestseller.
McClure used his connections to get Murphy a $500 bit part in Texas, Brooklyn, and Heaven. The agent of Wanda Hendrix, whom he'd been dating since 1946, got him a bit part in the 1948 Alan Ladd film, Beyond Glory, directed by John Farrow.
The John Farrow?
The John Farrow. Mia's dad.
Mm-hmm.
In 1949, his 1949 film Bad Boy gave him his first leading role. The film's financial backers refused to bankroll the project unless Murphy was given the lead.
Damn straight.
Thus, Allied artists put aside their reservations about using an inexperienced actor and gave him the starring role. Universal Studios signed Murphy to a 7-year studio contract at $2,500 a week. Which is a huge
yeah, a lot of money back. Yeah, going from a soldier salary to
right. His first film for them was as Billy the Kid in The Kid from Texas in 1950, and he wrapped up that year making Sierra, starring Wanda Hendrix, who by that time had become his wife, and Kansas Raiders as outlaw Jesse James. Universal lent him to MGM in 1951 at a salary of $25,000. To play the lead role of the youth in Red Badge of Courage, directed by John Huston, Angelica's dad. Murphy and Huston worked together again in the 1960 film The Unforgiven, later redone by
Clint Eastwood.
The only film Murphy made in 1952 was The Duel at Silver Creek with director Don Siegel. Murphy worked with Siegel one more time in 1958 for the Gunrunners. In 1953, he starred in Frederick de Cordova's Column South and played Jim Harvey in Nathan Jurin's Tumbleweed, an adaptation of Kenneth Perkins' novel Three Were Renegades. Ugh. Director Nathan Jurin also directed Gunsmoke and Drums Across the River. George Marshall directed Murphy in the 1954 Destry, a remake of Destry Rides Again, based on a character created by author Max Brand. Although Murphy was initially reluctant to appear as himself in To Hell and Back, the 1955 adaptation of his book, directed by Jesse Hibbs, he eventually agreed. It became the biggest hit in the history of Universal Studios at the time. To help publicize the release of the film, he made guest appearances on television shows such as What's My Line, Toast of the Town, and Colgate Comedy Hour.
Love the Colgate Comedy Hour.
Oh yeah.
I get it on Netflix. I stream it.
Yeah. The Hibbs-Murphy team proved so successful in To Hell and Back that the two worked together on 5 subsequent films. The partnership resulted in the 1956 Western Walk the Proud Land and non-Westerns Joe Butterfly and The World in My Corner. They worked together for the last time in the 1958 Western, Ride a Crooked Trail.
So he did mostly Westerns, but he did some other stuff,
looks
too.
Looks like war films and Westerns. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And Unforgiven, and I don't think they did it in the first one, but kind of describes Audie Murphy, Will Mooney. When the guy says, "You be Will Mooney out of Missouri, killer of women and children," and he, if you'll change us to Nazis, he says, "That's right, I've killed women and children. I killed just about everything that walks or crawled at one time or another. And now I'm here to kill you."
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Great quote from a movie.
I really like that film.
Okay, so he had a very distinguished movie career.
Yes.
Everything else to add?
Yes.
Okay, please proceed.
Joseph Mana, I don't know, hired Murphy to play the titular role.
Was that Huntsville?
No. In Shark Hunter. In the 1958 film The Quiet American.
Oh. Have you ever seen the movie The Quiet American?
No.
It's really good. It's I can't think who's in it. It's about Vietnam. It's really good. Anyway,
Murphy formed a partnership with Harry Joe Brown to make three films, starting with The Guns of Fort Petticoat. The partnership fell into disagreement over the two remaining projects, and Brown filed suit against Murphy. Murphy featured in three Westerns in 1959. He starred opposite Sandra Dee in The Wild and the Innocent, collaborated as an uncredited co-producer with Walter Mirisch on The Black and White Cast Along Shadow, and performed as a hired killer in No Name on the Bullet, a film that was well-received by critics. Thelma Ritter was his co-star in the 1960 Startime television episode, The Man. During the early 1960s, Murphy donated his time and otherwise lent his name and image for three episodes of the Big Picture television series produced by the United States Army. He received the 1960 Outstanding Civilian Service Medal for his cooperation in the episode of Broken Bridge, which featured his visits to military installations in Germany, Italy, Turkey, and the U.S. state of New Mexico to showcase the military's latest weaponry. Writer Claire Hoffacker wrote the 1961 screenplay for Murphy's films Seven Ways from Sundown and Posse from Hell. Willard Willingham and his wife Mary Willingham befriended Murphy in his early days in Hollywood and worked with him on a number of projects. Willard was a producer on Murphy's 1961 television series Whispering Smith and co-wrote the
Whispering what?
Smith.
Smith?
Smith.
Oh, Smith. Damn, enunciate, woman.
Michael Caine was in The Quiet American, in 2002 movie. It was really good.
Let's see. And co-wrote the screenplay for Battle at Bloody Beach that year. He collaborated on Bullet for a Bad Man. And in 1964, in Arizona Raiders in 1965. The Willinghams, as a team, wrote the screenplay for Gunproof, as well as the script for Murphy's last starring lead in a Western, 40 Guns to Apache Pass, in 1967.
That's racist.
Murphy made Trunk to Cairo in Israel in 1966. He first met director Bud...
Trunk to Cairo.
Yeah, that's what
Donald Trump was in Cairo. I guess he Donald was. Trump built the Sphinx.
He did. He raised the pyramids. He first
put a wall
met
on it. Wall. He built the big wall out there.
Doesn't let it. He first met director Bud... But I don't know. When Murphy requested to be his boss.
See, this is why I'm saying I need to bring in an efficiency expert for these podcasts.
Because I don't know how to say those names.
Well, then when you read the script, just say, okay, I'm not going to say that name. I'm going to cross it out and say some director. And no one knows.
You don't worry about it. I'm fine.
I'm bringing in an efficiency expert consultant. I'm bringing in a consultant.
Read the damn script before you get here, woman. Now, you see me, I'm professionally prepared. I'm a professional.
I see your doodles. I am prepared.
So I'm bringing in a consultant.
Zip it.
It's just hard to be a professional amongst amateurs. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I know the feeling, believe me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brandy. Please proceed.
I'm going to strike.
If you get any five-letter
words, you just need some coaching. That's all.
Yeah, you get some long words in there. You need help with. Just point them out to me. I'll tell you what they say.
Murphy married Wanda Hendricks on January 8, 1949, and their divorce became final on April 19, 1951.
What did he do 4 days later, Brandy?
He married his airline stewardess, Pamela Archer.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, yes, hey, yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And he had two sons with her.
Ooh.
Terry Michael Murphy and James Shannon Skipper Murphy.
Wildfire.
Yeah.
Come on back.
Yeah, Wildfire. The song Wildfire.
He died in a burning frost.
No, he died in a bitter frost. Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking about The Unforgiven, and there's another quote in that, and it makes me think of when Timmy leaves his house. Now, can you picture Timmy? I think he says this every time he leaves his house. This is Clint Eastwood when he's leaving, and he says, "All right, now, I'm coming out. Any man I see out there," this is just Timmy leaving his apartment before he comes to work. "Any man I see out there, I'm a killing. Any some bitch takes a shot at me, I'm not only going to kill him, I'm going to kill his wife, all his friends, and burn his house down."
Yep. Pretty much covers it.
Could Timmy a little
he stands
tense
on his balcony and declares
Timmy
it.
Is a little yeah. tense when he comes to work.
Benito Mussolini on my balcony. All right, go ahead, Brandy. Please continue. Are you done? We're only in our fourth hour of this podcast.
I don't know if I'm done or not. I'm just going to keep reading until you tell me to stop.
Oh, actually, I had that part, but
then the go.
Okay, so after divorcing Wanda Hendricks, 4 days later,
did I just say this?
Yeah,
I just said this part.
Audie Murphy married airline stewardess Pamela Archer. All right, oh, yeah,
no way.
Go, Audie.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. So anyway,
I wonder if the kids were conceived in the Mile High Club.
Okay, so he had two kids, Terry, Michael Murphy, and
so he just got dismissed.
No,
Shannon, James Shannon Skipper Murphy. See, when you don't want the nickname Skipper, you're a Skippy. You know, never gonna get laid. You're never gonna get laid if you're known as Skippy.
You never want to be a skipper, a scooter, or a booger.
Yeah.
Or spider.
No, you don't.
Hey,
booger. Skipper.
Be a skipper. If you have your choice between skipper and burger, be a skipper.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay, anyway. Okay. So Murphy started, after his film career, he started breeding quarter horses. Well, I don't know if he did it personally, but they bred. Him and his wife had a ranch in Menifee, California. Menifee, California, and also in Arizona. His horses raced at the Del Mar racetrack, and he invested large sums of money into his hobby. He also had a bad gambling habit, so his finances were in a pretty bad state. He states in 1968 he lost $260,000 in an Algerian oil deal.
Algerian prince?
He must have got one of those.
He fell for that email.
Yeah, he fell for the email scammer. And then he got in over his head with the IRS. Now, I'm saying if he gets in the IRS, you just say, all right, we'll call it even. Audio Mercy owes you money.
You could go through Germany and kill every damn Nazi in the world, but you don't want to.
But the IRS is
coming after. The IRS is still going to come after. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, but in spite of his financial difficulties, Murphy refused to. He had a lot of offers to do commercials, but he refused to do commercials for alcohol or cigarettes because of the influence it would have on young people.
He did do a couple of hemorrhoids.
I don't know about that, but reverse mortgage.
I'm
just kidding. On May 28th of 1971, Murphy was tragically killed in a plane crash in which he was a passenger. It happened at Brush Mountain. A plane crashed into the mountain in Catawba, Virginia. It's 20 miles west of Roanoke. It was raining, cloudy, fog, and there was zero visibility. The pilot and four other passengers were also killed.
And the four other passengers was the Big Bopper Buttercup.
No, it was not. No, it was not. But anyway, the aircraft was finally recovered. That was on May 28, 1971. 3 days later, the aircraft was recovered.
He was pretty old by then.
He was only 50. I mean, yeah, he was 51. No, he hadn't been 50 yet. After he died, Pamela Murphy moved into a small apartment and got a clerk position at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Los Angeles, where she remained employed for 35 years. She probably got punch and cake when she retired.
I would think.
She might have.
On June 7, 1971, Murphy was buried with full military honors at the Arlington National.
I hope so.
Yeah, full military honors at the Arlington National Cemetery. In attendance was the ambassador to the United Nations, George Herbert Walker Bush, Army Chief of Staff William Westmoreland, as well as many members of the 3rd Infantry Division that served with Murphy.
I have seen his grave.
I was going to say, his gravesite is the second most popular grave at Arlington Memorial Cemetery next to President Kennedy. Mm-hmm. It's the second one. The headstones at Arlington Cemetery, the headstones of Medal of Honor winners buried there are normally decorated with gold leaves. However, Murphy requested that his stone remain plain, like any other ordinary soldier, so his wish was honored. The headstone has his date of birth as 1924, which is incorrect. He was born in 1925, but remember they falsified his records get him in to change his age so he could join, so they went with that record. In 1974, a large granite marker was erected just off of the Appalachian Trail in Virginia where the crash site occurred.
Wait, you know what? I never get...
He also
always got to put up something big where you get killed. I always tell my kids, you know what? If my car ever goes straight into a telephone pole when I get mangled, don't decorate the damn telephone pole.
But do you think that they do? Like, I've been to, you know what I didn't notice when I went to Graceland? I didn't see no marker by the toilet for Elvis.
Yeah. They didn't put no flowers, no teddy bears, nothing.
Inconsiderate. But anyway, Murphy was bestowed the Texas Legislator Medal of Honor in 2013, and he also has a Hollywood Walk of Fame, star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in Hollywood, California. So that's the incredible life of Audie Murphy. Brandy, do you have any final thoughts on Mr. Murphy?
No.
He's a badass, don't you think?
He is a badass.
Colonel, I know you've won several Medal of Honors yourself.
Well, not.
No, that belittles every other Medal of Honor.
Well, that's not one medal.
You have a Lifetime Achievement Award for podcasting.
I do have the Podcasting Lifetime Achievement Award. I got a.
You got a Razzie.
I got a couple
once.
Commendations for bravery from.
You got a couple certificates of attendance.
So I got. Yeah, I had. One year, I had perfect attendance.
Second grade.
It was
going to say you've been out for like a month. I don't know if you're going to achieve that 2015.
But he was an amazing man because he was such a
ordinary.
Yeah,
he was so ordinary, and then so extraordinary, and then so
humble.
It just shows what war and killing people.
Takes its toll.
It takes its toll on you. It's,
he had an incredible life. I mean, if it had only been his military career, that would have been amazing. But then to come back and have another whole career in the movies and film, got a whole lot out of his 47 years on the earth, 44 years.
Yeah, I think he was. There was only one Audie Murphy. I think if Napoleon would have had him, he would have won Waterloo. Because he would have just carried a tank, one of those little cannons out everywhere he went. Just
yeah, he was pretty badass. If you had a whole platoon of Audie Murphys, you'd be in pretty good shape. I guess he was 46 when he died. Okay, so that wraps up another.
It does not wrap it up.
Okay.
We have not done our shout out to Dottie Scott.
Okay.
No, we have not.
Miss okay. Scott, we are hoping you have a lovely day.
And a speedy recovery.
And a speedy recovery, yes.
And we want to do a shout out to Tommy, who suggested we do a live call-in show. Tommy,
that's Bobby.
Bobby. Bobby yeah. The Fix-It Guy.
Oh, Bobby the Fix-It Guy. Thank you, Bobby.
Fix-It Guy.
And who else? Renee, the lovely Renee.
We would do a shout out to Renee. Let's do a shout out to young Brittany and see if she listens to the show.
Okay, there's no chance of hell she's listening to this while she's on vacation.
I bet she does.
Okay, we'll see. Brittany, if you're listening, text us.
And it was a very funny picture of her with her father with the starfish on
his head. Yeah, that was good. Brittany's taking some funny vacation photos and sending to us. Unlike the Colonel, who did not post very many pictures from his vacation.
He posted that one where he was fat.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. No, I think Tanner did that.
Logan did that. Yeah. He was like, ooh, check it out.
You did look really bad in that, dude. Yeah. Yeah. All right, where can people find us, Colonel?
People can find us on historydweeb.com. They can go to the Facebook and look up History Dweeb. But more importantly, and most importantly, go to iTunes and search for History Dweeb. Our whole back catalog is on there.
Yep.
Listen to
our entire collection.
And you can subscribe.
You can subscribe to our channel.
I think we have like 45 shows on there now. So it's a lot.
We have, and I would like to mention that I will occasionally make the joke about Canada.
Yes.
That I think that Canada, you know, if I was ever president, the first thing I'd do is drop a bomb on Canada, just teach them a lesson.
But you would not do that because we admire Canada.
Well, the reason I say things about Canada is it's just jealousy.
Yeah, it's a great country.
You look at Canada and you think, you know what, if Thomas Jefferson and all those guys were sitting around today and said, this is what we wanted it to be, it'd be Canada.
Yeah, over here.
Over here, yeah.
Yeah, Canada is a great country, and we have a lot of listeners in Canada. Thank you for tuning in. And like the Colonel said, if you're tuning in on iTunes, please subscribe and leave us a review. It's how other people find us. And until next time, we'll see you again on History Dweebs.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.